Hey, this is Mega Ran, teacher, rapper, hero, waffle lover. And you're checking out ACMG Presents Talk Time Live. Turn it up and share.
Previously on Talk Time Live exclusive.
How did that go with Yuri and Tara?
Well, we love the stuff, but unfortunately they had to cancel the convention.
Get out of here.
Yeah, but Yuri and Tara and I love it. So we're keeping it and we're going to print it up when we know what the next convention we're going to together is.
Absolutely. Well, you already have it set up. Good. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so they loved it. I think I sent you an email. They loved it.
I did. Absolutely. Yeah. And thank you because, I mean, working with those two.
Yeah.
And having them on my client list, that's a big deal. I mean, like Yuri Lowenthal is Spider-Man right now, so I'm kind of geeking out on that point.
I know. We're gonna get him on your show. Trust me.
Oh, you're the best. You guys heard it here first.
And he promised me that he and Tara would be on it. I just said, hey, next time you want to plug something and you need, they have a new book or something coming out. Doesn't matter.
They're more than welcome. I am absolutely playing his game right now, and I am enjoying it very well. So I look very forward to talking about and helping him promote and push his book Indefinite. And just talking to those two because I really want to learn how they got together. Don't tell me.
Actually, that's funny. I don't know, and I've traveled to Australia with them,
because I definitely want to. I'm so eager to. I think that's the sweetest thing ever.
Yeah, it's cute. I'm gonna do this for you before we sign off. All right.
Yeah.
You want me to? Okay, I'm gonna say something.
Go ahead, right now.
This is Naruto Uzumaki. Go Eagles!
It's time. Talk time. Let's go. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Live. Started in the 80s with Matt Cross. Dudes in the hood might have called that soft, but I carried that cross like Jesus did. Fast forward, I teach the kids to learn how to let go, live life, and show love to all things. That don't matter where y'all from. And luckily, there's a show called Talk Time. We've been waiting for this for a long time. Dax kicks the facts on all the geek news. Special guests and unbiased reviews. Suburban kids, the hipster street dudes, all can learn something new. Me too. I heard words when no faith is empty. I stayed the course though my haters tempt me. Beep the podcast, that'll make them envy. It ain't too trendy, it's ACMG. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Live.
Welcome back. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, the Prime Show. I'm your host, Xavier Josiah. Folks, what a week did we have in the world of ACMG, in particular, Talk Time Live, the podcast. Thank you, first and foremost, to Brian Stephenson, who is the Global Brand Marketing and Creative Director for ReadPop and is overseeing all things Keystone Comic Con coming September 14th to the 16th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. And I couldn't thank him enough to stop by the show to talk about what we need to expect here in Philadelphia as far as what's going on with this inaugural event. And this is going to be, it sounds pretty awesome. I mean, everything, if you heard it, you definitely know what to expect. And the fact that it's Batman Day going to be in on the 15th, you can't, man, did that fall into their lap or what? So if you haven't heard the episode and you're planning to come to if you're in the Philadelphia area, you're planning to come to Keystone Comic Con in Philadelphia, you need to go out of your way to listen to that interview, because he is told a lot about what to expect in this event. And especially if you're a Batman fan and is looking to celebrate Batman Day, what they're offering to the first 1,000 people is awesome. So, go out of your way to check that out before it's too late and it's already here. And you would have been like, well, how come I didn't think about it? Well, you need to listen to the show. So go ahead and download or listen to it at TalkTimeLive.com and check that out there. Also, thank you to my lovely friend, of course, Molly Flanagan, the voice of Naruto, stopping by for the third consecutive time on this show to talk about everything. I mean, like, she's coming down to Philadelphia. She's going to be at Keystone Comic Con as well. If you're a Naruto fan, if you're a fan of the Hokage, this is your time to check out this absolutely great event coming up. She's going to be there, and it's going to be awesome. I'm going to be hanging out with her, and you know, just going to be, it's going to be crazy, because I am possibly going to be interviewing some hopefully interesting people. Some people I've been waiting to interview for quite some time. Absolutely quite some time. So I'm looking forward to that as well. And just talking to the people in general there, and, you know, taking a lot of photos and pictures and stuff. So I'm going to be working overtime, probably like never before, covering this event right there as well. So, yeah, she's going to be there. Vic Mignogna, who you guys remember, you know, the voice of Brawly, the voice of Edward Elric, who I interviewed a few weeks back, will be there as well. So if you're fans of him, he will be there as well. They, you know, they got the anime heat there, but they also got Kevin Conroy, they got Phil Lamar, they got Joe Manganiello, the entire cast of True Blood, The Office, that's crazy, Big Bird, that is crazy. I mean, like, they have something for every demographic in there, pretty much. It's an amazing, you know, lineup that they have at this event, and I'm looking forward. I can't wait. I cannot wait to actually do that, but I've been looking forward to hanging out with Molly for some time, so that's exactly what we're going to do. I'm going to have her there, cheesesteak her, you know, we're going out whining and dining, whatever. I don't want to sound like Ric Flair, but that's pretty much the gist of it. Yeah, we're going to be hanging out and all that stuff too, so this should be a lot of fun. But if you heard the, you know, you heard the actual soundbite of the little segment of the interview that we just recently had, definitely go out of your way if you haven't heard it. I've had nothing but great praise about the interview. And the bombshell that she dropped on me, she is the gift that keeps on giving. You know what I like about, oh, I love about Molly is that I never ask for any of this. I don't go to her for any reason. And she just does it out the kindness of her heart, and that is so genuine. It's never like she needs me to do anything, you know. And, you know, we do business under my design firm for stuff like that, but a lot of the stuff is just altruistically her doing, you know. And I can't thank her enough. You don't get too many people like that that do that. And she's absolutely awesome. But she dropped a bombshell, as you heard. Yuri Lowenthal and Tara Platt will be coming to Talk Time Live very soon. If you don't know those names, you know the names of the people that they play. Yuri Lowenthal is the voice of Sasuke Uchiha and a host of others as well. But even more importantly, at this point in time, he's the voice of Peter Parker, a.k.a. Spider-Man, on the new Spider-Man video game that is out now for the PlayStation 4 that I have been playing nonstop. I had to force myself off to even do this show so I can actually get the show done. But I'm so deep in it. I'm a Spider-Man fan. I mean, you can't, how cool is that? So he's going to be on here. Tara Platt, his wife, is the voice of Temari on Naruto and a host of other, you know, animated shows and video games as well. And they're married, and I can't wait to find out how that story came about. So we're going to get a chance to have him on the show. And I've also done work with them, design work with them under my design firm, which, by the way, cheap plug right now, if you are looking for any branding needs and marketing, you know, needs, I can help you out there. VFISAD.com. You hear it all the time at the end of this show. And Viewfinders Identity Search and Design has worked with a lot of people in the world of anime, entertainment, and in Hollywood, for that matter. Shout out to Danielle Kennedy of Narcos, by the way, and a host of other things. But yeah, I get a chance to, you know, not only just work with these people, but I get a chance to have them on my show to talk about their lives and their careers. And it's always great to really hear all of the hard work and struggles and trials and tribulations they go to live their passions. So it's awesome. I can't thank her enough once again. I mean, to me, she's a true friend. She does everything. She does everything and everybody. And she's a great activist as well. She fights. When she feels that something is worth fighting for, she fights. And that to me is more of a hero than the hero that she plays. So, you know, shout out to her as well. And we'll be seeing her very soon, guaranteed. But Also, this is just a week of cons, period, people. And we got Keystone in Philly, but we also do, I'd be remiss not to mention this, we do have J1 and Jersey, which is still going to happen despite the claims of sexual misconduct at the hands of the founder, Jason Richardson, you know, who's a member of the ACMG Facebook group, and he's been on the show before. And, you know, right now there's an investigation going on I believe, both parties. Jess Caleb, his ex-girlfriend, has made a statement in regards to that. We talked about that before, but also further to she further made statements that a media publication will be released in the course of a few weeks of investigation of that. And it may involve more than just her, from which she has said. So this is going to be interesting. And, you know, J1 is going to go on, and at the moment it has to, it can't, you know, it really has to at this point, because there's no, at this time, there is no real claims of it yet to, you know, make the claims. And it's just going to be further investigated until put on, Black Tribbles, which he is a part of as well. Their podcast over there, they have stated and addressed the issue as well, and he has willingly stepped down until further things has gone through. Lynn, who is the head of the Tribbles, I pretty much the case, like the Jizza, pretty much. He made a statement, and also that, you know, they have a zero tolerance for it, but they're full support of him at this time, and you can only be that's all you could do. That's all pretty much you can do on that note. So I really, honestly, in my heart of hearts, I hope for the best in this. But it's, at the same time, it's like, who do you hope for the best for? I mean, you can want to say both, but we don't know. We don't have all the figures, the facts, and all the stuff. But as time comes by, we'll get that. So I do say this, that Lynn also announced that they will have at the J1 panel, which is very interesting and I guess needed in this case. It's the first time I've ever heard one for a con, but they're doing a what is called a hashtag #MisogyNo panel, which I think is more very appropriate for that. And you know, I implore all who are going to be at Jersey to, you know, stop by, check it out. It's a real issue. It's a real serious issue. And, you know, we need to really watch what we do say and how we handle things. And, you know, obviously there's some things you just don't do, but, this is just going to be interesting. I just nothing more too much I can really say about it until we get more of the facts and figures out, or even statements out from the parties. And again, at this time, Jason has not made any statements, or his representatives has not made any statements on it yet. So we will keep you posted on that note. But I digress from all of that, you know, with everything going on. We do have a show today, and this show is going to involve Iron Fist. It is back on Netflix, season 2, 10 episodes. Did it live up to the expectations? Did it redeem itself from the first season? We're definitely going to talk about that, because you may be in for a surprise if you haven't checked it out yet. But we're going to that's going to be our talk topic of the week. But for now, we have a little bit of news to discuss going on in our favorite fandom. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's find out what's new in the world of ACMG.
And now, it's time to find out what's new in the world of ACMG.
All right, folks, we are back. And like I said, there's not going to be too much, almost like technically two really bits of news that I want to talk about right now. There's not really that much news going on this week, and most of it is games news that I will just go ahead and mention on the Select Start podcast as it gears towards that, because I'll need stuff to talk about for there too. But you know what I know is really great news? If you're in Philadelphia, you know this. The biggest news in Philadelphia right now is that it's cold outside. For God's sakes, it's been a heat wave for the last few days, like 90, humid, all this type of things, and I've been biking in like some 18, 20 to even like 30 miles in this mess, and I for sure am happy that this is here. I'm going to enjoy it. Hell, I might even go outside and bike after this show. So just to enjoy what it is, even though they said it is a flood warning, a flood watch warning right now. I'll take the risk. But nonetheless, I digress. I actually want to talk about bigger news, and that is Brie Larson. We finally get to see what she looks like. We got a first look, thanks to Entertainment Weekly, as to what she's going to look like as Captain Marvel. And my God, I am so loving what I saw. The outfit is awesome. It's literally detailed, spot on. A real world version of the costume that we see on the comics. You know, every part of it, they really respected the source really well with this. And I love it, and just gave it its own detail, you know, finish as well. The line, the implied line designs and such, with it adding it on, making it really even more badass than it was before. So she looks great. She looks absolutely fantastic. Now, it's funny because I don't know what's going on as far as that, because there were, you know, we saw pictures a while back of her wearing a similar suit, but it was of a different color. And I believe it was the colors of the original Captain Marvel. Or Marvel, based on a certain era of the comics. And I know for a fact that whether that was a secret picture that they did, or we may just see that within the film or some course of the film. I don't know, but the one that we see right now is like drop dead accurate to it, and I love it. I can't wait. But not only that. EW News, you could go on EW.com, I believe, or Google Entertainment Weekly. They have other photos in there, very interesting photos in this article that shows a lot more. For instance, we finally get to see what the Skrulls look like. They have a photo where the Skrulls look like, and it's been memed all over the place. I know Khalif Topping in our ACMG Facebook group, he posted something really funny showing the Skrulls coming out. And some graphic artist put in the Boyz II Men logo on there and called it a simulation to make it look like an album cover. And it's hilarious. So definitely shout out to Kelly for posting that. But it also, they look absolutely badass as we would hope. I'm just glad the Skrulls are able to be on here, because there was speculation at a point where they didn't know whether Fox owned them or... Marvel Studios own the rights to be able to use them. Apparently, both of them had the rights to use the Skrulls. It's kind of similar to the Quicksilver situation that they had way back in Age of Ultron and First Class as well. So this is awesome. They're the first ones to bring out the Skrulls, and maybe the only ones to bring out the Skrulls if this merger actually freaking happens. And they look awesome, and they have the chins. If you all know the Skrulls. If you don't know the Skrulls in the Marvel Universe is a race empire, an intergalactic empire race that has the ability to morph and assimilate into, you know, anything to assimilate into society. So there was a really big comic book saga called Secret Wars, or Secret Warriors for that matter. And I believe that it involved the Skrulls. Well, this is not the first time, or Secret Invasion, I believe it was called. It's not the first time the Skrulls have ever invaded, the world and doing what they did. They've done it over and over again over the years, but they always somehow rehash and recycle the storyline of the Skrulls. But now we get to do it here, because now we got the Skrull Empire here, and they're going to do whatever they try to do. But also, there's more to these pictures that they show. So we got the Skrulls. And we also get pictures of, Captain Marvel interacting with none other than Ronan from Guardians of the Galaxy. So they're coming back onto this series. And you got to remember, if you don't know, this is going to be like a flashback movie. This is going to be dating back to the 90s, per se. So there are going to be some things that, like, you're thinking, well, this person died. What happened to this person? Why is he back? Or something like that. Yeah, this is a flashback episode. So you're going to see quite a few characters in some interesting, you know, situations. We're also getting, which I thought was cool, Jimon Hounsou as Kurof. If you remember him, he played on Blood Diamond. He played on plenty of other movies. Great actor. absolutely great actor. He's also played Black Panther. He voiced Black Panther on the BET animated motion comic special that they did a while back. And if you haven't seen that, go out of your way to go find that. It's awesome. It might be on YouTube as well. All of the episodes may be on YouTube at this point, because I know in HD for that matter too. So he's going to be back as well, because I believe he died too in Guardians of the Galaxy as well. I think he got shot in the side of his head, and his module actually sparked up, so he was out for the count. Ronan, of course, he died too, so obviously this is the past. The other cool thing that you're going to see is Coulson is coming back as well, before, you know, pre-Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., of course, again, 90s. But significantly, we're also getting back Nick Fury with two eyes and a full head of hair. So, and there's pictures of that on their website as well. So there's going to be a lot of cool things going on. I'm looking forward to this. This is awesome. And apparently there are other Captain Marvel people in there. So, like, I don't know if Marvel's actually going to be in there, but it looks like he is, because there's also a picture of a guy that, you know, that Carol actually hangs around with. I don't know if it's him. I don't know if they're going to do the same storyline that they did in the comics, where was it Marvel or somebody gave her a blood transfusion, which gave her the powers, you know, of the Marvel or whatever they call it. But nonetheless, it's, you know, don't quote me on it, but nonetheless, it's going to be, it looks really cool. I expect nothing but the best from them. You know, Marvel Studios, their win loss count is deep. Like, they have very few losses. I mean, if you count Iron Fist Season 1 and also Inhumans, that's pretty much it. That is pretty much it. And I, you know, if anybody says Agent Carter, I will kick them. Because that was a great show. I don't know why they decided not to give it a third season, but that is such a waste. I hate when people do that. We just talked about that on an interview with Molly Flanagan too, like how, you know, they just cut off, get you all sucked up in, and they just cut you, and you're left for the rest of your time wondering what could have happened and how this would happen. But this should be good, and we'll see how this leads up to Infinity Wars and how she's going to be a part of it. So it's really awesome to see. Again, if you haven't checked it out, go on to Entertainment Weekly's website. It is on there. Great pictures. And pick up the magazine while you're at it. It's a great magazine. I subscribe to it as well. And some pretty cool stuff. They usually cover a lot of fandom, like, you know, subjects as well. I mean, she's on the front cover, for God's sake. So that should tell you enough from there. So the other last bit of news that I have is actually going to the comic side of this, and I haven't talked about comics like deeply like this in quite a while. I have been back on reading some things. Champions, I started reading again. There's a few other ones that I started reading. Infinity Wars, I am reading now. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. I'm still really flipped out that Turk, of all people, like Turk from the actual Netflix animated shows. Turk actually had one of the Infinity Gauntlet gems. That, to me, is hilarious. I wish they would have kept it. I wish they would have, like, let him have it and kept it. I would have loved to see what Turk would have been able to do with that. But he's on air. I mean, that's one thing. But a very beloved series is coming back, and that is Superior Spider-Man. And if those of you who are Spider-Man fans like myself, this was probably one of the better story sagas that they had in the modern day right now, in this era, in this generation, because Spider-Man has lost two things. I mean, they aren't consistent with the artwork, with the artists on these books a lot, but the one thing that the other thing that I didn't enjoy was kind of the stories to some extent too. But the Superior Spider-Man was possibly, you know, and on my list is one of the favorites. And this is, if anybody remembers this, or if they don't, this involved Dr. Octopus. Big, like, this was big at the time for comic book fans, because technically Spider-Man died. And somehow, some way, Doc Ock inhabited his body, and I forgot how that went, but he inhabited his body and took over the role of Peter Parker, where Peter Parker's soul or essence was still around, kind of haunting Otto Octavius as well. So it led to this big situation where Otto thought he was going to just, you know, take over the world in his way as Peter Parker. But in fact, he started gaining morality with himself and started beginning to thinking at doing things that he always wanted to do, you know, as like humanitarian was, but never got a chance to do. But also, it showed he really made Peter Parker look like the most arrogant, snippety, uppity, elitist ever, which is totally the opposite of what Spider-Man is, or what Peter Parker is for that matter. So, but his arrogance and genius has led Parker to create Parker Industries, which, you know, made for the first time Peter Parker into Tony Stark. And actually, I believe Parker Industries actually beat Tony Stark as far as business wise. Like, Tony Stark's business started, like, he started falling broke at this point in time, mostly to do with Parker Industries. And nobody knows, like, Tony is really pissed off at Peter Parker, and nobody really knows that it wasn't him, that it's Otto Octavius is going through this. So they are going through all this motion. And it's funny, by the way, I don't know how people always fall for Marvel when they do stuff like this. They'll kill off a person, and you go through this long, long series of books where there's something new going on. Like, for instance, you had Superior Spider-Man, Captain America, you know, he aged insanely, or died to the point that, no, he aged terribly. Like, the super serum was sucked out of him. And apparently, they gave the shield to Falcon. And people, like, just made a big deal out of that. It's like it was going to be forever. And you got to know, if you realize their pattern, they do this all the time. They always do this. So they kind of did it too with Ironheart, in a sense. They, you know, gave it to Riri Williams, and now Tony Stark's back in some form or fashion. So now she's her own person with the champions now. So, which is great, actually, too. And I like her new suit too, by the way. So you got that going on. And you just got to know that this is their way of marketing new people and doing new things. But they're eventually going to bring that person back. That person's never stayed for a long time. I mean, same with Charles Xavier. How many times did he pass away, for God's sake? But yeah, here, you know, Superior Spider-Man was Otto Octavius. And people really like, myself included, really like the book. Really like the fact that Otto was changing his heart. He, you know, it was like the Grinch when he found his heart and it grew like three times over or whatever like that. And it was a great thing. He even had a love interest and such. And it's awesome. I don't know what exactly how they're going to do this again or what's going to happen with this. But apparently, from what I read this from IGN, I believe, and they said the original volume of Superior Spider-Man debuted in January 2013, which was a temporary spinoff of Amazing Spider-Man, where Otto Octavius took over the body of Peter Parker. But the other thing here is that Marvel went on to say Otto Octavius leaves the moniker of Dr. Octopus behind once again to become the Superior Spider-Man. If you think you already know or already read the most intense, surprising, heartbreaking Superior Spider-Man story, prepare to be wrong. Otto is going to prove to the world that he's the most effective, at least to him, the best superhero in the world. But when a villain that overpowers him by so much shows up in San Francisco, there's no way Ock can win, right? Can you see Otto smirking from where you're reading this? You know, that's their state. That was Marvel's statement, not mine. But yeah, I'm all for this. I'm all for this. I'm looking forward to it. And also, what is a cool part about this version of Spider-Man was his suit. His suit was so good, so great. It was a mix, it was a hybrid of the classic suit to some extent with a few augmentations and additions to it. And then also with the Iron Spider tentacles on there. So it was a real, people really absolutely love that suit. And in fact, so much that they added as a skin on Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. Believe which you could play with that suit on there. So I'm all for it. I'm interested in what they do, and I like that they brought this back, much like they did with Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man Renew Your Vows, which was one of the favorite books of the Secret Wars saga, the crossover sagas in there. So this ought to be awesome. I can't wait till it comes out, and I will actually read that. Maybe I'll even give a review on that one, and give my two cents on it there as well. But that is all I have, ladies and gentlemen. That is it for this segment of What's New in the World of ACMG. We're going to take a break, come back, and review Iron Fist 2 on Netflix. Did this redeem itself? We'll find out right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dax Xavier Josiah, the host of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, the podcast. You want to catch up with all of our podcast shows and hear from some of the hottest names in all of anime, comics, movies, and games, such as...
This is Miley Flanagan, the voice of Naruto.
This is Stephanie Shea, the voice of Sailor Moon.
This is Ruben Langdon, voice of Ken Masters and Dante from Devil May Cry.
Hey there, this is Kyle Hebert, the voice of Ryu from Street Fighter V.
This is Chris Battle, character designer of Teen Titans Go.
Here's your chance to check out all of that and more on TalkTimeLive.com. TalkTimeLive.com provides all of our ACMG content with new and previous episodes, exclusive interviews, articles, and much more. Visit TalkTimeLive.com and let us help you learn to let go, live life, and love all things ACMG.
Talk Time Live.
Hi, everybody. This is Vic Mignogna, Broly from Dragon Ball Z, Edward Elric from Full Metal Alchemist, and this is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live.
And now it's time for your talk topic of the week. Ready? Fight!
All right, folks, we are back with our talk topic of the week, and it is our review of Iron Fist Season 2 for Netflix. It came out on the 7th, the same day as Spider-Man, so I had my work cut out for me on watching that and playing this. So, playing that and watching this, in other words. But what I got to experience was definite improvement. This season was a great improvement from the last season. I defended the last season only based upon the fact of the story. The story, to me, I felt was good, but a lot of people, say what you will, about it, they were just focusing on a bang pow, bit, which in this case, I greatly understand due to the fact that it is Iron Fist, it is martial arts related. So the bread and butter, the storyline kind of takes a bit back to the fight choreography in a sense, because all of it needs to come together strongly. And to their credit, and you got to admit that the fighting was less to be desired from both that and the defenders at one point. He was not ready. They rushed it. For some reason, they didn't hire a Ray Park to put over a mask in him and let him do the choreography or whatnot. Hell, we would have been happy if Michael Jai White would have done the choreography for Finn Jones, and we would have been happy just to see some great martial arts fight choreography there. But they have deeply improved on this second season. We got to see a hint of it, a prelude to what should we expect on the Heroes for Hire episode of Luke Cage Season 2, which was without a doubt my favorite episode of the bunch. And there was a lot of great episodes on there too. If you haven't checked out Luke Cage Season 2, man, you need to check that one out. That was a force. That was a big, big, big force to the first season. But here, they've redeemed himself, and Finn Jones has redeemed himself. We said, I was talking with the people at the ACMG Facebook group when we talked about this, when the subject came up, and they have said at one point, especially I think way back when we were looking at the Luke Cage Season 2 episode, that he's greatly improved on his martial arts skills, but also his comfortability of the character of Danny Rand as well. So you can tell he's fully, this season alone, he's fully on board here. And we got to see some incredible, incredible episodes here. It was a 10-episode season this time, shorter, but also better quality in this. And the story this time around involved the return of Davos, which we seen in the first season. When they and that's the cool part about this season. It was mostly focused on Davos. There was no side. There was a new character in there, and this is an interesting character I'll bring up too. But we've seen this before, where it was too much going on. Luke Cage, Daredevil to some extent. Daredevil I thought did really well with the Punisher, so I'm not going to fault that. But Luke Cage was always under fire for putting in too much on the first season. The second season, they did a lot better, much, much better with too. But this season was such a main focus on Davos becoming the Steel Serpent, which is in the comics, Iron Fist's mortal enemy. And here is Davos, his supposed brother that they grew up and trained together with. But Davos, nurtured by his mother, was always made to believe that he was the rightful heir to the Iron Fist. And in fact, it wound up being Danny being that role. And him growing up the way that he did, didn't understand why wasn't he the chosen one and felt that he was robbed. So instead, he robs him with the help of his supposed old friend, Danny's old friend and somewhat sister, Joy, who those two decide to team up together romantically or, you know, just business-wise, regardless. They team up together and to try to rid themselves of Danny Rand. And Joy is going through a lot of things in this episode because of what she discovered in the first season with her father still being alive, with Ward, her brother, now more of the good guy in this season, has, you know, turned over a new leaf. He's going to rehab and all this stuff and, you know, trying to get his life together at the same time. But Joy couldn't trust him. She couldn't trust Danny. So she felt to get revenge, flesh out her anger or displace her anger, she decided to team up with Davos. And Davos had a plan to rid Danny of the Iron Fist powers by finding some artifacts and, you know, new rituals and whatnot, and, you know, tattoo artists that can really, put in the marker on him to be able to generate that, the powers of him from there. So it wound up coming into this very strong story, season that led to a lot of things going on and a lot of questions at the end of the season, if you guys saw that too. Surprisingly, no appearance of Luke Cage in here. It was one mention about him. Because the only appearance that and no Claire either, no Claire Temple as well. I think her last deal was in Luke Cage, which was very crazy. But we did get Misty Knight, which was awesome. I mean, she was in there for the long haul. She and her and Colleen Wynn, in here, which was played by Jessica Henwick. Also one of my favorites. She's beautiful. I thought she did a great job in hair. So seeing her and Misty teaming up like they do in the comics is really cool. And honestly, it felt more like their show than it was Iron Fist. Like Iron Fist took a back. He was in the background just for quite a bit of this to allow them to flesh out their relationship too. And there was a reason for it as well. But those two working together, they clicked really well. The chemistry was there. I thought they did a great job, you know, on this season. And it looks like Misty's going to get another upgraded arm. And now we're going to see some things flesh out. I mean, guys, if you haven't seen this show, go watch it first, then come back here and listen to it. Otherwise, unless you're interested in knowing first and then going back. Because there are some people who still believe they don't want to be spoiled, so I don't want to spoil it for them. But I am going to talk deeply about certain things that came out of this episode. And, you know, for those who just want to find out whether the show is good and then go back and check it out, I'm telling you now, go check it out. It's really well done. There isn't really a specific episode that I felt that stood out. I thought it was very well balanced throughout the entire seasons. Like, I know there are seasons out there that I've watched, but, you know, nothing really, all of them were great. I can tell you this, episode three, which was the Deadly Secret, was really good because it was, you know, they were trying to hash out their frustrations. And you got Joy and Davos just sitting there, and they want to kill Danny and Colleen right then and there. And Colleen, to her credit, is really, you know, she really wanted to, really just put it out there and say, like, look, we know you're here. Stop with the bullshit. And you know, let's just hash it out. Look, you're mad at him for this. You're mad at him for this. And it just got deep. It got real deep at that point. The other factor in here was a character by the name of Mary, who also was named Walker because she had this split personality. She had this, you know, she was a secret ops in this. Played by Alice Eve, who you guys seen on Star Trek. You've seen her on a lot of other movies and shows. But she was Mary Walker. Mary Walker in the comics, believe it or not, is a character named Bloody Mary. Bloody Mary was, for what I understand, in the Marvel Universe, was a mutant that had these other abilities. In this series, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, she is a mercenary, a badass mercenary with a split personality. So at one point, she's this really attractive woman that's kind of flighty and, you know, worldly kind, you know, sort of kind of, and a great artist as well. But when certain circumstances come, she turns into the, you know, Black Ops mercenary that we end up seeing her in. And she is ridiculously no joke in this show, too. So, I mean, she turns into two different, you know, characters in here. So that's, you know, one of the things that really stood out here as well. So at one point she was with, you know, Davos and such like that. And then all of a sudden she winds up teaming up with Iron Fist and Misty and all those. But it's crazy. And she's also have a big connection with Joy too, who really finds out that how really scary this chick is and how much of a friend she's going to be, whether she likes it or not. So that was also a good deal. But I got to talk about this because the end of it was really crazy. At the end of all this, again, if you have not watched this yet and you don't want to be spoiled, you need to get off right now. Again, if you are, this is going to be interesting. If you're not caring about being spoiled, here we go. Colleen has the power of the Iron Fist now, which is absolutely great. And I was trying to find out whether this was something on the comics. I almost feel like I believe that this happened in the comics too, where she did take over the Iron Fist as well. So now she has the power of the Iron Fist. They transferred the power to her, so she has some of it as well, and also the tattoo that's in her arm as well. So she's now connected, and now her and Misty are going to be teaming up a lot more. So we're expecting to see those adventures as well. But Danny decided and found out that the emblem, the family emblem that belonged to Colleen, had another secret behind it, which was the emblem of the Iron Fist, which led to him going on this huge journey in Asia, which also led to Ward going with him, which is great too. Ward's character was really great. Who is the guy's name? Play Ward. Pepfrey. He did really well. I liked him better this season than he was in the first season. I didn't know if neither him or Joey was going to survive the first season in the first place. And to that some extent, I didn't know whether they were going to survive this season as well, because every once in a while, a character dies. And that usually happens, but he managed to stick around. So he's going to be a mainstay. And even more now, even way more now. Like, I found this character to be more likable as the episodes went by. Now, it's something weird actually happened in this season, though. But Warp also was, like I said, he was trying to fight his demons. He met a woman that was his sponsor, and they wound up being a little bit more to engage, which is something that you never normally, which, you know, a sponsor shouldn't do. It's kind of, in some cases, unethical in a case, but it even come to find out, she wound up pregnant and having his kid. I don't know where that's leading to, where that's going, but I guess that's going to be a third season thing that's going to happen, and find out sooner or later with that. But upon Ward, because Ward, he said, screw it, I ain't got nothing else to do, and I don't want to see you die. So they're literally brothers again in this case. So their friendship and their brotherhood has rekindled through this season. So he winds up going with, you know, Danny. Even though they have a company that they need to run, he decided to go with Danny and make sure Danny's okay. And from this, they end up in, I think, Japan, where Ward is absolutely trying to get some information from this guy. And lo and behold, they get into a gunfight, but Danny has two iron fists and two, now he's using guns, and the guns have golden bullets, which parried the other guy's bullet. I don't know what the hell's going to happen in the third season, but it's going to be crazy. I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to everything that's going on, how Luke Cage and all of them is going to connect, because that's still a thing that needs to happen as well. But Misty did mention, saying she's going to need Colleen's help, because wherever Luke is going right now, she doesn't like it. So they are connecting that together. The other thing, too, that I wanted to mention, too, is Mary, Bloody Mary or Mary Walker, basically mentioned that she was soldiers of war. She was a military soldier that was, I forgot what they call it, soldier of fortune, pretty much. She was a soldier of fortune in Sokovia. She was locked up in Sokovia, of all places. So that was a big of a lead-in to what's happening in the world of Marvel. So they're still connecting things together there. I thought that was great as well. So those little subtleties were kicking in, and there may be some other hidden subtleties in there that I haven't seen, but overall, I enjoyed this. I enjoyed it so much, I am going to watch the season again, because there were some great things, and there may be some things I missed out, but just watching it for the first time, was highly impressed. So glad that everything worked out. And now they fully redeemed themselves. I think the strength of the Netflix Marvel Cinematic Universe is back on the stronghold, with thanks to Jessica Jones' season, thanks to Luke Cage's season, because I think Luke Cage's season was the strongest of all of them so far. The Punisher was also great too. That was still deep. And then you also got now season two of Iron Fist too. Honestly, you want to just skip to season two, you absolutely can, because there's nothing really in the first season that you really need to see, other than if you want to see how Danny Rand just, you know, got back and things. But season two stood on its own and its own strength. So I definitely give this an A season. I loved it. Go out of your way to check it out if you haven't seen it. And Marvel is staying strong as always. I still would like to see them. They would connect to the Runaways and now Cloak and Dagger and all these other things going on. I hope to see all these connect in some form or fashion, and all of them make mention of things there. So we will see. We will definitely see. But ladies and gentlemen, that will do it for this edition of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, the Prime Show. Thank you all so much for listening to the show, for being a part of ACMG, for all of the guests that comes on here throughout this entire year, and not just Molly Flanagan and Brian Stephenson and Megan Ran and Kay Murdoch, which will be on tomorrow's exclusive. I'll have him on before this week. So, I mean, I'll still have two episodes this week. It'll be with Kay Murdoch doing an exclusive. We're going to talk about the theme song. We're going to talk about his gaming, him as a father, producing with Megan Ran, all that type of stuff tomorrow. So stay tuned for that as well. And also, I will review Spider-Man on the PlayStation 4, my thorough review. I gotta be thorough, because there's a lot going on in this game. So much going on in this game. I have to play enough to get to that point. And I think I'm almost near the end. So I will be playing it wholeheartedly and review it on the next episode of Select Start. By the time Select Start comes, I will definitely do it. And by the way, I was supposed to do a Select Start episode this week, but I end up getting so drained out of prepping for the interviews and doing everything, I just decided to, you know, just chill and get my energy back up and rejuvenate, prepping for everything that's coming on this week, everything that's coming out, and, you know, stuff like that. So I will eventually do that. Maybe I'll do a top five Spidey episode after this week's episode of Select Start, and do that in comparison, compare and contrast all of those together and give my top, because there was a lot. I did a history of Spider-Man games on the ACMG Facebook group as well, you know, doing photos and graphics. And that's another thing that probably drained me out too, doing that too. But we're also going to do that as well. So there will be two episodes this week, the exclusive and this episode coming up with Select Star. So stay tuned for that. And then, you know, the weekend of cons, Keystone Comic Con. I'm going to be there. A few other ACMG members will be there. A lot of celebrities. See who I get to talk to and whatnot. And we will get to everything, guaranteed. I will have a special Keystone edition coming up this week of everything that I have encountered. See who I will get to talk to and whatnot. And maybe some video footage as well. Well, definitely some video footage as well. But pictures, everything is just going to be nonstop. And who knows what who I'll bump into this time. So stay tuned for all that and much, much more, people. But for now, on behalf of myself, this is Dax Xavier Josiah saying, learn to let go, live life, and love all things anime, comics, movies, and games. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live. I am out of here. See you guys later. Take care. This episode of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live is brought to you by Viewfinders Identity Search and Design, your choice for multimedia development for your brand. Visit VFISAD.com and find out how we can make your vision your reality.